Blog Talk Radio.
We have some Irish in our ancestry. I prefer the Scotch, the kind you drink. Anyway, this is our salute to the Irish. Some of the things that you didn't know or did not want to know, and some of the things that are associated with the Irish that most people don't know and should appreciate. We'll start with the most famous of the Irish ancient military songs, Brian Boru.
Thank you.
I don't think we have any that I know that are Irish, at least prominent, but we'll do the March 12th. Those of you who remember the famous Studebaker car, they're classics today. In 1831, Clement Studebaker was born. In 1862, Jane Delano, the founder of the American Red Cross, she was a nurse. She was also in that family, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. So there's a relationship there. The guy who stopped the British at Gallipoli, who stiffened the backs of the Turks, his name, Kemal Ataturk. That wasn't his real name, but he changed his name, Father of Modern Turkey. He was born today. We had Gustavo Diaz, a dictator of Mexico, president. He was born today. And Jack Kerouac, of course, he wasn't Irish, and I think, in all fairness to him, I should play an interview that I did. Not I did, but it's part of the Brazola Carson archives that we did for Western Public Radio and KLW. So I think it's only fair to play something on Jack Kerouac. Here we go.
There was a little alley in San Francisco, back of the Southern Pacific Station at 3rd and Townsend. In red brick of drowsy, lazy afternoons, with everybody at work in offices, in the air you feel the impending rush of their commuter frenzy. As soon they'll be charging en masse from Market and Sansom buildings on foot and in buses and all well-dressed through working man Frisco of walk-up truck drivers. And even the poor, grime-bemarked 3rd Street of lost bums, even Negroes, so hopeless and long left east, and meanings of responsibility and try, that now all they do is stand there spitting in the broken glass, sometimes 50 in one afternoon against one wall at 3rd and Howard. It is all these Milbrae and San Carlos, neat necktied producers and commuters of America and steel civilization, rushing by with San Francisco chronicles and green call bulletins, not even enough time to be disdainful. They've got to catch 130, 132, 134, 136, all the way up to 146, till the time of evening supper in homes of the railroad earth, when high in the sky the magic stars ride above the following hotshot freight trains. It's all in California. It's all at sea. I swim out of it in afternoons of sun-hot meditation in my jeans with head on handkerchief on brakeman's lantern, or, if not working, on book. I look up at blue sky of perfect lost purity, and feel the warp of wood of old America beneath me. And I have insane conversations with Negroes in second-story windows above, and everything is pouring in. The switching moves of boxcars in that little alley, which is so much like the alleys of Lowell, and I hear far off in the sense of coming night that engine calling our mountains. But it was that beautiful cut of clouds I could always see above the little SP alley, puffs floating by from Oakland, or the gate of Marin to the north, or San Jose south. The clarity of Cal, break your heart. It was the fantastic drowse and drum hum of lum mum afternoon, nothing to do. Old Frisco with end of land sadness. The people, the alley full of trucks and cars of businesses nearabouts. Nobody knew or far from cared who I was all my life, 3,500 miles from birth, all opened up and at last belonged to me in great America. And now it's night in 3rd Street. The keen little neons and also yellow bulb lights of impossible to believe flops, dark, ruined shadows moving back of torn yellow shades like a degenerate China with no money. The cat's in Annie's alley. The flop comes on, moans, rolls. The street is loaded with darkness. Blue sky above with stars hanging high over old hotel roofs and blowers of hotels moaning out dusts of interior. The grime inside the word in mouths falling out tooth by tooth. The reading rooms tick-tock, big clock with creak chair and slant boards and old faces looking up over rimless spectacles bought in some West Virginia or Florida or Liverpool, England pawn shop long before I was born. And across rains, they've come to the end of the land sadness, end of the world gladness. All your San Francisco will have to fall eventually and burn again. But I'm walking, and one night, a bum fell into the hole of the construction job where they're tearing a sewer by day. The husky Pacific and Electric youths in torn jeans who work there, often I think of going up to some of them, like, say, blonde ones with wild hair and torn shirts, and they say, you ought to apply for the railroad. It's much easier work. You don't stand around the street all day, and you get much more pay. But this bum fell in the hole. You saw his foot stick out. British MG, also driven by some eccentric, once backed into that hole. As I came home from a long Saturday afternoon local to Hollister out of San Jose, miles away across verdurous fields of prune and juice joy, here's this British MG backed and legs up, wheels up into a pit, and bums and cops standing right outside the coffee shop. It was the way they fenced it, but he never had the nerve to do it due to the fact that he had no money and nowhere to go, and oh, his father was dead, and oh, his mother was dead, and oh, his sister was dead, and oh, his whereabout was dead. But and then at that time also, I used to lay in my room on long Saturday afternoons listening to Jumpin' George with my fifth toquet, no tea, and just under the sheets laughed to hear the crazy music. Mama, he treats your daughter mean. Mama, Papa, don't you come in here, I'll kill you, etc. Getting high by myself in room glooms, and all wondrous knowing about the Negro, the essential American, out there, always finding his solace, his meaning in the fellaheen street. And not an abstract morality. And even when he has a church, you see the pastor out front bowing to the ladies on the make. You hear his great vibrant voice on the Sunday afternoon sidewalk full of sexual vibratos saying, why, yes, ma'am, but the gospel do say that man was born of woman's womb. No, and so, by that time I come crawling out of my warm sack and hit the street. When I see the railroad ain't going to call me till 5 a.m. Sunday morning, probably. For a local out of Bay Shore. In fact, always for a local out of Bay Shore. And I go to the whale bar of all the wild bars in the world, the one and only Third and Howard. And there I go in and drink with the madmen, and if I get drunk, I get. The girl who come up to me in there one night, I was there with Al Buckle, said to me, you want to play with me tonight, Jim? And I didn't think I had enough money. And I told this to Charlie Lowe, and he laughed, said, how do you know she wanted money? Always take the chance that she might be out just for love, or just out for love, you know what I mean, don't be a sucker. She was a good-looking doll, and she said, how would you like to ooyaku with me, mon? And I stood there like a jerk. In fact, bought drink, got drink drunk that night, and in a 299 club, I was hit by the proprietor, the band breaking up the fight, before I had a chance to decide to hit him back, which I didn't want to do anyway. Not on the street. I tried to rush back in, but they had locked the door and were looking at me through the forbidden glass in the door with faces like undersea. I should have played with her shoo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-ka-dookie. Old Man Mose, early American jazz pianist, had a grandson called Dead Belly. Old Man Mose walloped the rollicking Keyport, Wahoo, Wild Hosts, Piani, with monkeys in his hair, drooling spaghetti, beer, and beans, with a cigar mashed in his countenance, gleaming happiness, the furtive madman of old sane times. Dead Belly don't hide it. Lead killed Lead Belly. Dead Belly admit. Dead Belly modern cat. Cool. Dead Belly man. Craziest. Old Man Moses dead. But Dead Belly get ahead. Charlie Parker, looked like Buddha. Charlie Parker, who recently died laughing at a juggler on TV after weeks of strain and sickness, was called the perfect musician. And his expression on his face was as calm, beautiful, and profound as the image of the Buddha represented in the East. The lidded eyes, the expression that says, all is well. This was what Charlie Parker said when he played, all is well. He had the feeling of early in the morning, like a hermit's joy, or like the perfect cry of some wild gang at a jam session, wail, wop. Charlie burst his lungs to reach the speed of what the speedsters wanted, and what they wanted was his eternal slowdown. A great musician and a great creator of forms that ultimately find expression in mores and what have you. Musically as important as Beethoven, yet not regarded as such at all, a genteel conductor of string orchestras in front of which he stood, proud and calm, like a leader of music in the great historic world night, and wailed his little saxophone, the alto, with piercing clear lament, in perfect tune and shining harmony, toot, as listeners reacted without showing it and began talking. And soon the whole joint is rocking and talking, and everybody talking. Charlie Parker whistling them on to the brink of eternity with his Irish St. Patrick patoodle stick. And like the holy mist, we blop and we plop in the waters of slaughter and white meat and die one after one in time. And how sweet a story it is when you hear Charlie Parker tell it, either on records or at sessions or at official bits and clubs, shots in the arm for the wallet. Gleefully he whistled the perfect horn. Anyhow, it made no difference. Charlie Parker, forgive me. Forgive me for not answering your eyes. For not having made an indication of that which you can devise. Charlie Parker, pray for me. Pray for me and everybody. In the nirvanas of your brain where you hide, indulgent and huge. No longer Charlie Parker, but the secret unsayable name that carries with it merit not to be measured from here to up, down, east, or west. Charlie Parker, lay the bane off me and everybody.
Well, this was Jack Kerouac's birthday today, and he mentions Charlie Parker, the bird who had a cocaine, drug problem. He died today. Here's the other birthdays today. Unfortunately, no more Irish, at least none that we could find, who were prominent. Besides Jack Kerouac's birthday, the first Japanese ethnic governor of Hawaii, George Ariyoshi, born today. And this guy isn't Irish, he's Russian. Mstislav Rostropovich, one of the greatest cellists and his conductor, and his wife was a great Russian opera singer. Mstislav Rostropovich, who liked vodka and women, was born today. Edward Albee, who hated women, who wrote the play Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. We had Andrew Young, who may have had some Irish blood, black mayor of Atlanta. And I think Jimmy Carter's appointed ambassador to the United Nations. Paul Cantor, who was Jewish ethnic, who was with the Jefferson Airplane. And we had Liza Minnelli, who was the daughter of Judy Garland. Actually, Judy Garland's name was changed. And Vincent Minnelli, who was a famous producer, director, and was reportedly also gay. Among the deaths today, we had, the infamous Cesare Borgia of the Spanish family, who had some popes, also who fathered children, and he was a notorious Borgia military genius fighting in Italy, and also his famous movie with Tyrone Power, which we'll get into later this week in The Long Gray Line. One of the great and most honest politicians and governors of Illinois, John Peter Altgeld was born, died today, and a German immigrant, legal, and there's a street named Altgeld, named after him in Chicago. And then we had Sun Yat-sen, another famous freedom fighter, the Republic of China, first president. He died today. And then we had the Match King, who was involved in some financial scandals, the Swedish, Ivan Kruger. And then, of course, Charlie Bird died today. And then John Cazale, an actor. I think he was in, Dog Day Afternoon he was in anyway. One of the greatest conductors in modern music history, Eugene Normandy, who emigrated legally from Hungary, was actually named Jano Blau. And he played in a string in a pit orchestra when he was 15 or 16, and then later went on to become the conductor of the Minneapolis Symphony, and then later longtime conductor of the Philadelphia Orchestra. He had perfect pitch, he had a perfect ear, and he once often would read a score and correct the composers. You know, that's how great this guy was. And he succeeded Leopold Stokowski. The Philadelphia Orchestra had this wonderful string section. They were known for this burnish string sound, and that's something I studied when I was in music school. And then the great actor, Maurice Evans, who was in, played Macbeth on the stage. Among the events today, we had... Ignatius of Loyola, who was a soldier who founded the Jesuits, he was declared a saint. And then James II landed in Ireland. I didn't get a chance to find out what he did or what the Irish did to him. Then getting the founder of Chicago, a black, was part French, Canadian, John Baptiste DuSable. DuSable High School in Chicago is named after him. We keep hearing the word going postal. Well, they started the post office in 1789 on this day. And then in 1860, during the Congress declared that there would be free land in the West for colonists. And in the meantime, while Lincoln was fighting the American Civil War and the French were Napoleon III was meddling in Mexico and fighting Juarez, they finally forced him out in 1867. The French troops finally left Mexico. They were trying to prop up Maximiliano, who was the Archduke from Austria, who Napoleon III used as his puppet to try to set up territory in Mexico while we were preoccupied with fighting the American Civil War. And this is interesting. In 1868, Congress abolished the manufacturer's test and tried to make business more... Could make business operate with less restrictions. Unfortunately, we've come back full circle with this Obama maladministration. And in 1901, the American League started building the first ballpark in Boston, Boston Red Sox. Carnegie started the Hero Fund on this day. And then the Girl Guides became the Girl Scouts. Now, they, I understand, have been taken over, or there's been this unpleasant, unfortunate lesbian influence in the Girl Scouts. Mahatma Gandhi, 1930, in the great film Gandhi, highly recommended, he started his 200-mile walk to the sea so that the Indians could get their own salt. Now, the British had this thing called the salt tax, and it was something throughout history where salt was needed by the poor people, and the governments and the kings realized they could tax it, salt. And so Gandhi says, hey, you got to spin your own cloth and get your own salt from the sea. And the British, we're going to stop it. So he protested the salt tax. I recommend you see the film Gandhi. In 1938, we had a situation as we're having today where Germany invaded Austria and annexed it. And here we have the same problem of totalitarians in Syria, this guy Assad. We have a Sudetenland situation, and we'll get into that later this week. In 1945, New York City was the first city to legislate an anti-discrimination law in hiring. Also on this date, Jimmy Hoffa was sentenced to 8 years in prison, and they think that he was told not to come back and try to take over, retake presidency of the Teamsters, and he didn't listen. And he's supposed to be buried in a freeway outside of Detroit. That's what we hear. 1970, the voting age was lowered from 21 to 18. And then also on this date, Anwar Sadat declared that he wanted to reclaim the Arab lands that were taken by Israel. Of course, that's never been resolved. So we thought we end this census as Irish Week. We will play this just for the heck of it. Give Ireland back to the Irish. The Irish want it all back, or some Irish do. And of course, today is Mitt Romney's birthday, and I don't know if he plays poker, but there are some people who want to have a convention in which it'll be brokered. And here is the classic song, Politics and Poker, which will end the show today.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight. Possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play,
what to bet,
where to call up.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Well, we'll find out. This is Peter Paul Bozzola, and later this week we will hopefully have our professional Irishman, great journalist, real journalist, and we'll continue our salute and expose of the Irish. This is Peter Paul Bozzola. Good night.